Rated M for mature.
We want more. We want more. Like, we really like it. We want more.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Wine, Weed, and Weave. I am your hostess with the mostest, Ayana, aka the marijuana Ayana. So just a quick note about these intros. I know I used to do the intros with the guests. I personally like that better because I get to tell the guests how dope they are and they get to hear it themselves. But for timing reasons, the intros have been separate because I've been recording like crazy, y'all. I've been recording back to back and it's been amazing because there are so many incredible women of color in cannabis that are doing incredible things and are wanting to tell their story, and I can't wait to share those conversations with you guys. Let's get into this next conversation. Now, I'm gonna warn y'all, there were some tears in this episode. There was some laughter. We talk a little bit about slavery, and it's Black History Month, and we just went there. We talked about faith, we talked about everything. I super enjoyed talking to this guest, and I hope you guys do too. As always, everyone on the show is over the age of 21. We are allowed to smoke weed. We're grown women, okay? And for those that aren't aware, the whole purpose of the show is to highlight the work, voices, and experiences of Black and brown women in the cannabis industry. Once again, I have another woman on the show that is doing just that. She is an MPA cannabis marketing manager and product developer, which is like some real boss bitch shit in the cannabis industry. If you know, you know. She currently works for Green Thumbs Industries and is also doing marketing with Canaclusive, which is one of my favorite brands to find information about people of color in cannabis social equity programs. Check out Canaclusive if you're not familiar. She's also the creator of High Class Conversations, which is a virtual book club, a podcast, cannabis activation, and an influencer company. I am excited to have on the show, straight from Chi-Town, straight from Chicago, Nikki Fulev.
Do you have any questions for me before we get started? You're welcome to smoke weed. I encourage it.
Say less. No, yeah, we're good to go.
Okay, cool. And just going to jump into the questions. I do the intro right away. But like I said, thank you again for taking the time to be on the show. I'm really excited to just feature more and more and more dope women of color and weed, and you're real low-key, which I like, but once people find you and like what you do, they're like, oh, okay, like they start to put it together. Like I said, I love finding out that Black women are behind the things that we love. Mm-hmm. But first things first, when did you first smoke weed and how did you feel?
Oh my goodness. Okay, so the first time I smoked was actually in high school.
Oh girl, don't
I
worry.
Love this
nobody,
story.
Nobody's judging here. This is a safe space.
Oh no, trust me. My mom knows this story by okay. now, but I've told it okay. so many times to like my friends and my family that they're just like, girl, whatever, you've been trouble from the start. So in high school, I was a sophomore and my older brother, he was a senior. And it was one of those things where it was like, when you saw him, you saw me. I was definitely underneath him like a rock. So in the morning, we would always walk together to school. His friends lived closer by our house. So they come over, we'd leave out, and then he'd be like, okay, we'll stop by one of your friends' house and they can walk with us to school too. So I'm like, okay. So I knew which friend I wanted. And we go, and this morning, now I knew my brother smoked, but I never seen him smoke before school. It was more of like an after school thing. So today he was smoking, and then I'm just like, shit, I want to do it too. Like, what's going on? Like, okay, can I hit it? Like, please? I promise you I won't tweet. And he like, you know what, Nikki? Fine, I'll let you do it. Like, he trusts me. So I hit it, my friend hit it, we go to school, girl, When I tell you that was the biggest mistake that man has It was hilarious. No. So my first period teacher was, I think it was English, but she was his, I think, sixth period teacher for English as well. And then it was so funny because this was like the first round of the young teachers. Like, you know, now the kids got all the young teachers.
Mm-hmm.
But this was like the first round. So she had to be like 28, black. She knew what was going on.
She knew what's going on.
Yeah. So I came in class, and like you said, like, I'm very low key. I'm not talkative. Like, I just come in, sit down, let's get to business. Girl, I was running my mouth like there was no tomorrow. I was high as hell. I was just talking.
He gave you a sativa. Okay.
Laughing. I was just going through it. So
she probably was like, what is going on with her today?
Girl, she didn't even know. She knew. Like, when I tell you, she
probably
smelled
like weed.
I'm more than, and now that I'm thinking about it, I didn't even think about that. I'm pretty sure I did. And especially since most of the time, I didn't get into like my perfume phase until my brother graduated. I think that's when I became a girl. So I'm like, I probably definitely smell like a pack.
She probably walked right past you and was like,
Girl, she walked out the classroom. Well, she was like, you know, she asked everybody to give her a minute. And she walked out the class and she went and got my brother.
Oh, no.
And she was like, oh, a little thing too. Everybody knows my mom at this school.
Oh. Mm.
She was like one of those mamas. Where She was there. Mm-hmm, so she went and she got my brother and she was like, I know what you did. But I just want you to know you have 5 minutes to get her together or else I'm about to call your mama.
Oh, my God.
Girl,
I would have panicked.
He took me to the bathroom and he was just like going crazy. He was like, you better throw some water on your face, get it together. Macking me around a little bit. He was like, you need to wake up. He was like, did that lady come in here? Like, it's the end
it's
of all
for
of
both
us.
Of y'all.
So that was definitely
great high story.
And I definitely didn't stop afterwards.
You were like, this was fun, kind of dangerous, but fun.
Yeah, more like I just need to make sure I do it after school.
Yes, because if people can tell.
Exactly. I haven't mastered the chill vibe yet. That didn't come into college, so.
They're like, what is her deal today? What is going on? He gave you a super sativa. For sure. What are you smoking on today, by the way? We always share what we're smoking on the show. I just had some Snickerdoodle, which is Viper Cookies and Scott's OG. I don't know if that's accurate. That's what the packaging says.
Oh, I have some black truffle butter from a local Chicago brand, Black Hippie Farms. They are the best.
Oh, I've heard of them.
Yes, they are the best, but I have the black truffle right now, so that
sounds real tasty.
Girl, real smooth, real indica now. I can't do the sativas anymore.
I love that us weird women have been describing their weed as smooth, like it's a glass of wine. Like, we're like, ooh, this is real smooth. Because it is kind of like some strains are smoother than others. Some have a little bit more bite than others. Some are a little sour.
Some can go with the chocolate and the sweet. Some can go with the bitter. Like, it's definitely a difference when you know what you're doing and what you're looking for.
Exactly. It's so nice when you can pair things and be like, oh, I have some steak tonight, so I'm going to have something, This is why the show is called Wine, Weed, and Weave, y'all, because I really like wine and weed. Anyway, no wine today because I had coffee, but you're also welcome to have a glass of wine. It's a little bit later in Chicago.
I didn't realize that it is kind of early for you also.
Yes, yeah.
It's like getting into the evening. I'm pretty sure the sun is going to set for me in a few.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, if I had a glass of wine right now, that'd be great, but in due time. So my next question is, what were you doing prior to cannabis? Like, what career path were you on and how did you pivot into getting into the cannabis industry?
Okay, so I actually spent 7 years in the healthcare industry.
Oh wow.
I have my master's in public administration and the focus.
Okay, girl.
Yeah, this girl gets hot, but she gets to the books too.
Yes. But, highly educated stoners.
Yes, but I have my master's in public administration and the focus was healthcare administration. So I went from doing a lot of outreach programs. One big thing for me has always just been whatever I do, it has to have some type of touch in the community. I'm from Englewood, Chicago. So most of the work that I've done in my healthcare career being in Chicago has been in that neighborhood. So I've done a lot of outreach programs for like senior citizens. And then it went more into me going into the headquarters. So I did more data analysis, more insurance work. But then I felt like I was getting pulled away from my calls. Like I want to be back towards the people. So I started doing more project management and more program development. So basically having studies in my community to see what they need and how they can receive it. One of the programs that I helped initiate was we have a local, we have a few local food shelters here. And we would basically partner with them where they would bring their fresh produce to every Access Health Community Center in the neighborhood. And then the community can come, the community could come and use their food stamps to buy fresh fruit there.
Oh, so it's
just
that's
like
cool.
A nice way to bring more fruit and more just great produce to our neighborhoods because you know we don't have it in our grocery store.
I mean, if you know, you know, honestly, like I would look around where I grew up, McDonald's, KFC, Popeyes.
Exactly.
No, it's like nothing.
You don't see a grocery
fresh.
Store for
and I knew that was on. I knew it was. A purpose like a decision made by the city because I'd go to other places and then they would be fresh food everywhere.
Yep. But so that's what I was doing. But as happy as I was to be in the community, at some point you have to realize that I was a 24-year-old Black woman with a master's degree, and unfortunately, I wasn't getting paid past $15 an hour.
Oh.
So, and even doing all of this work that I'm doing, I just couldn't get a leg up in anything. I'm applying for university jobs. I'm applying for this, that, and the other. And I just felt real, real defeated because it's just like, not only do I have a master's, but I've always prided myself in having worked in the community like since undergrad. So I have 7 years of healthcare experience. Like that's unheard of. Most people
yeah.
have one or the other.
I so, totally feel you. I was just listening to another podcast and they're still talking about how the disparity for Black women getting jobs is still so, so hard. Like we are the hardest to get jobs or like we're the hardest to hire.
And we're the most qualified, overqualified.
Exactly. So every woman listening to this podcast was like, We've been there.
But yeah, just going through it. So going through it means what? Nikki's getting high every day.
Yep.
I used to come into the office. Oh, I guess I could say this now. I don't work there anymore. But come into the office really early and I would be stoned and I'd just be like, I'm gonna come early because I know that I'm stoned and I'd rather like power through all my work before, you know, the doctors and everybody get here. So one day, this female Black physician came into the office because I forgot. Well, I didn't forget because I was there preparing for it. But I had to host like the regional physicians meeting monthly, something like that. And she came in early and she was sitting there watching me set up. And we were having like casual conversation. Mind you, it had to be like 6 a.m. So I'm talking to her, but I'm not really paying attention to her. And then she comes out of nowhere and she gets to ask me about cannabis. And I'm just like, God damn it, Nikki.
What?
You came to work smelling like weed. Oh my God, you're about to lose your job.
Like, why is she asking me this now?
It was just so random. But the crazy thing about it is, I can't even remember how the conversation shifted, but we just started talking about it. And she came out and told me that aside from being a physician at Access, she was also a cannabis physician. And I was just like, Black woman, what you doing? Like, what's going on here? Talk to me. Tell me more because I'm interested now. So she's just like, you know what you should do while you're still working here and you're telling me that you like it here, but you do need a few extra coins. She was like, you should get a part-time job at the dispensaries. Like, they're hiring. And I haven't been to, so this was before Chicago had recreational. Mm-hmm. So this was like 2019. So at that point, I forgot that we even had medical cannabis here. I forgot mm-hmm. that was legal. I'd never been inside of a dispensary. I don't have a medical card. What am mm-hmm. I doing? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay. And so I apply to one and I get in, and the dispensary part-time was paying me twice as much as the full-time healthcare job.
And you were like, all right, let's do this.
I was like, okay, so we're going to do this. And it was so funny. So I've always just known to work multiple jobs. I work multiple jobs now, working for GTI.
Same. I don't think I've ever not had more than one job. Exactly. I don't know, like, what? My brain can't do that.
No, it's like... But so I did the two for a while, and ironically enough, in February of 2020, I just decided, like, I'm just going to go full time at the dispensary. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but this just feels better to me. Mm-hmm. And then crazy enough, COVID happened. So if you think about it, technically, I would have lost my job anyway.
This is because then... And cannabis became essential.
Exactly. Cannabis became an essential need, which is still crazy, but whatever. So technically, I'm still like a healthcare worker. If you know, in my mind, this is what I'm trying to tell my parents as they're...
We are on the front lines, okay? If you work for a dispensary, you are on the front lines. Thank you.
I'm sitting here trying to explain this to my parents because they're looking at me like I've lost my goddamn mind. They're like, you doing what?
You're selling drugs? Yes.
You quit your job to do what? Okay.
And they saw you at the healthcare for so long, so they're probably like, this don't make no sense.
Oh yeah, I definitely even got my healthcare degree for them specifically. Like, of course I found my own way and I found ways of enjoying it, but you know, initially you go off to school for your parents. You're doing all of this to make mm-hmm. sure you bring back a better quality of life. So they like, you taking all that and you're finna throw it out the window for some weed? What's wrong?
They're like, listen, they are hiring, they are paying this much.
Yeah, that's when I started throwing the numbers out there. I'm like,
this is an essential business. Look how much money this industry is making in COVID. I
have to figure this out. Like, you'll be all right. I don't live at home with you anyway. So technically, I need your approval. I'm just letting you know.
Listen, I'm grown, but look, I feel you.
But so that was how I initially got started in the mm-hmm. cannabis industry.
I love that. It really is just putting your foot in the door somewhere. Like you said, you just applied for a dispensary. You get it. I think a lot of us get our start at the dispensary because there are mm-hmm. easy ways to just get started and just to educate yourself and put your foot in the door.
Yes.
Yeah, and like, you never know what can happen from there. Plan.
You definitely need to know, oh, I want to go in and learn this and learn that. Like, it's literally just a job to just get in, be yourself, and learn.
Yeah, I love that. So being from Chicago, what does the cannabis community and industry look like? And do you feel like being from Chicago has any influence on your work today? Because listen, everyone who I know is in Chicago. Y'all are very proud of it. I love it, but y'all are very proud of it. So I'm like, I wonder if that affects her work ethic in any way, being where she's from. Because I know being where I'm from Houston, Texas. I feel like I have this mentality of hustling because I grew up in Houston.
Well, if anything, that's probably helped me because if Chicagoans do one thing, we're going to hustle. We definitely go on a grind and just work. We probably mm-hmm. don't even know what we're working towards, but we just going to put in the work and then it's going to mm-hmm. be figured out in the long end. So if anything, that helped me more in this process because you have to realize my first actual positions that I applied for when I left the dispensary was... So right now I'm the assistant brand manager for Green Thumbs. I'm over the Dog Walkers project. And then for Canoclusive, I'm their operational manager. But you have to think about it. These are both marketing jobs. And I just told you my background and it has absolutely nothing to do with marketing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when it came to me presenting my resume, tweaking it in the ways that I did. And then when it came to me landing these interviews and me speaking, that was the Chicago in me that got me that next round that made them listen to me. Because honestly, I was one out of 927 people that applied for that GTI position, and I sold them off of my Instagram and the social media and the way that I market myself.
Okay, period.
That made them want me, so I'm
period.
Just, you have to figure it out. Like,
you really talked that talk, probably. You really yeah, I'm like, no, I'm listen, going to sell myself. I know people this, from this, Chicago this, know this, how to do this, that. This, y'all definitely know how to talk.
I'm like, if I don't know how to do it, I promise you give me half a day and I will. Like, I just need an end and we'll figure it out from there. And honestly, I really am grateful that I did find a company that fits me as well, because they want to give you that shot. Where the fact that I literally had senior vice presidents and CEOs telling me, you know what? We can teach you marketing. It's fine. You have everything else that we're looking for. It's like, you don't really come across too many people like that. And especially from the last cannabis company I was with, and it ended so terribly. It's like, okay, they actually really care. And even with me being there now, and you constantly have those monthly marketing meetings. And I think the last marketing meeting we had, they brought in like the insights team, and they brought in like the recruitment team, and the recruitment team was showing numbers of how they're targeting more people in three categories. And those three categories are literally African-Americans, Latinos, Latinas, and females. I'm like, yeah, y'all really listening and y'all really paying attention. And it's not just people for dispensary jobs. Like, no, these are people for manager positions, to run facilities, to run programs, to run like high level execution things in this cannabis industry.
I feel like everybody, not everybody, but I feel like any cannabis company, by giving a Black woman and Latina woman, a Black man, Latina man, by giving us just an inch, or like just letting us put our foot in the door, you can open up so many more opportunities, like so many more, just by giving one person, and then two people, then three people, and letting them lead, and not just being like, well, they don't have the skill set, or they don't really they don't feel like they fit the company culture, you know, that's what they like to say.
And I think the company culture so far is, they're just like, we want you to learn and we want you to be great, but then we also want you to know that we don't expect you to be here for 10 years. We want you to get what you can get
out
of us.
We want you to grow. Yeah.
And then leave us and go somewhere better and start what's new. So it's like, who tells you that?
Have you heard about this story, this thing on Twitter that was going around? I'm curious about your opinion. Basically, this Black hiring manager, a Black woman, and then the person who applied for the job that I guess she was trying to get was also a Black woman. And she was essentially saying that she didn't feel like teaching the Black woman to ask for more. She didn't have the time. She was like, I don't have the time to tell her to ask for more, or to say this or do that. So she's not going to get the job. And she put it on her Twitter. And eventually the hiring manager got fired for doing that as well. So it kind of bit her in the ass. But as you were talking about this, that kind of pops in my head. What do you think kind of about this scenario or similar scenarios? Because how many times have you been in that scenario, and this is the one where you haven't been, and someone gave you an opportunity and it ended up doing what this woman did not do, was giving a Black woman a chance to be like, okay, I'm gonna let you step it up. I'm gonna see what you're made of.
So it's funny, because I've actually never been in that position until now. GTI just recently hired a senior brand manager to be over me. So me and this one woman are the sole people over Dog Walkers. And yes, she is a Black woman. So
pats on. Yes.
It's like dream team. But this is the first time that I've ever had this type of oversight. Mm-hmm. And it's everything and more of what I was expecting, but really what I was looking for. Because also, in the past 7 to 10 years that I've been working, I've always, like you said, hustle mentality. I've always just been working. I've learned myself and I've learned what I can do, but I've never really had someone come in and teach me anything. So I explained that to her, and I'm just like, I really need this job. Well, not this job. I really need this role. I really need to learn here. Like, I really need to learn. And so far, she has been giving me just that, where something that you may look at as the most rhetorical thing in the world to ask of a senior brand manager. I ask her to review emails before I send them out to someone just to make sure it sounds good, just to make sure the form is coming out right, just to make sure that I'm coming off in the way that I'm supposed to come off. And every time that I request this of her, it's not all the time, but when I do, she's like, send it to me, it's fine. That woman is doing a million other things. She don't have time to spell check my damn emails, but she doing it. Because she's like, I do want your, and then it's like, it's funny because now that I'm spearing a few projects on my own and she's just being CC'd in the email, like you can honestly see the evolution in just 1 month of her working on my emails. Like I feel completely confident in reaching out to an outside partnership who doesn't know me from Jack and Jill, but they're looking at this email like, oh my God, who is this woman in this company? We need to set a meeting with them.
And it really just took that one person. Well, it took several people, but I'm sure she has made such a big, her taking the time to be like, I'm going to mentor you and answer your questions has caused such a big shift in what you're doing, where you're going.
Mm-hmm. It definitely makes you just feel more secure in just what you're doing. You feel more confident. You feel like, I already knew I was the shit, but now I can really show up and portray that.
That's why that story just blew me, because I'm like, why would this senior hiring manager black woman,
I actually don't even
just have not take that's the funny. Time that's probably to yeah, like why would she put it on blast? Like why would she, number one, not help her, because I'm sure someone helped her to get to where she was, and then number two, put it on social media, and what if that girl saw it and was like, oh, like that makes you feel terrible, you know?
Yes.
But like, look how didn't good help you felt her. Like you as you described, yeah, you feel just like you could, like you said, you're like, I already knew I was the shit, but now I really know.
Yeah, it's like you're just helping polishing me off. And it's like, even if you don't want to help me, because which is cool, I mean, to whatever fault that the woman didn't want to help her, I mean, you don't have to help everybody just because, but you definitely didn't have to post about it or showboat about it or, you know, degrade her about it.
That's true. This is true. What kind of like resources or background or skill set? Because like you said, you didn't get your degree in marketing, but now you're in these marketing positions. And I'm sure a lot of it, like you said, was learning on your own and like doing a lot of like research and just, you know, YouTube University. Would you recommend someone have or someone look into if they're interested in doing cannabis project management or product or branding development or marketing development?
Well, as far as when you think about these positions, just take the cannabis part out for a second. So initially, you do cultivate these roles and different things that you may have been doing in your life. So I, even though I may not have had certain marketing essentials, I did still have, you know, the administration background. I still had the operations background. I still knew little tricks to take over to help at least start off whatever projects I need and then just get guided from there. So I feel as though you should really just stick to whatever traits you already have and just try to elevate them from there. You can always take classes somewhere to help, but like a perfect example is someone reached out to me to help with finding jobs in the cannabis industry, and they're just like, I want to do marketing because you're doing marketing, it's so cool. And I'm just like, okay, well, send me your resume. But then when they sent me their resume, they had so much sales experience, and not in the sense of dispensaries, but in the sense of like sales management experience and a lot of skills in operating in that arena. So I'm just like, I think you would fit best in and I literally went online and I found a million, not a million, I'm being dramatic, I found like 20.
I mean, there's a lot. Yeah, like
there is sales, a lot. There's but a I lot. Found like 20 cannabis positions that were directly towards the skill set that she already has, and that would just make her transition into the industry so much easier, to be like drinking water, because you're not just shooting for anything. You already know what to do, and now you just have to do it with weed.
Yeah, I always tell people, just do what you're doing now, and there's probably a weed job
for it. Yeah,
like you don't. More, and if there isn't one, then there needs to be one, and you can fill that gap in the market.
Exactly. But right now, they need IT people. They need accountants. They need HR people. They
like
need
everybody else.
The same jobs that everybody else need.
But they pay more.
They pay so much more. Oh my God. It's like beautiful.
You're like, oh snap, this we could do. Okay. Sign me up. I think I had the same evolution where I was like, I'm doing marketing. I like it, but I'm kind of bored. And I do smoke weed and I like weed. Cannabis marketing, ding, ding, ding. Exactly. And now that's what I do full time. Don't need to do nothing else.
How do you feel knowing that weed pays your bills?
It's weird. It's weird.
Because I'm still trying to grasp it. Like every time I submit that rent check, I'm just like, damn, this
kid is weird sometimes. Yeah, I mean, early money. When I worked at the dispensary, it was the weirdest because I was literally coming home, like I was a bunch of
literally.
So yeah. I was literally seed to sale, like, and I was selling millions throughout the week. And one day I realized that I definitely sold more than my local plug.
No, I like, did too. Oh my God, I did too. Like, I took a picture of it, and it's funny because the local plug was a guy I was dating at the time. So I was like, oh, look, I made more than you this week. And he's just like, but I still have mines. And I'm like, oh, you're right.
That's true. Mine went into my taxes.
I'm like, mine's went away. You're right.
That's true. Yeah, when I hit a million and I was like, oh, this is weird. Like, this is strange. And that was probably the lowest I had for a while because then COVID hit and mm-hmm. we were essential businesses. And I remember that the dispensary next door to us closed COVID, so we had like lines around the corner.
Oh wow, yeah, like, that was
this is crazy. And coming home with stacks of money because people tip in cash. So coming home with stacks of money and people being like, "What you do for work?"
That was definitely the most that I've been tipped to during the COVID era. You know how mm-hmm. many moms was coming in sick as
people were buying weed like it was the apocalypse. I thought that was so funny. I was like, I never thought weed would be the thing that y'all would.
And then it went recreational January 2020. So it was just like, yeah, this was right in time for y'all.
Mm-hmm. But you got in just in time, girl. Just you slid in there right in time.
No, literally. I tell myself
because everyone was like, oh, what's happening? We got to stay home. Let's go buy 5 ounces. Right.
That really happened too. Which
that really did. Think about it. It was a fever dream, but it really happened. Oh man, what a wild time. So wild times. So and speaking of resources, what resources, especially for like people in Chicago, would you recommend or like what have you been involved in? I don't know if there's a Chicago Normal, but yeah. I've seen the Chicago cannabis community, especially the Black people in Chicago cannabis community, really popping lately. Like y'all are really like feeling like you're coming together and creating something. And so mm-hmm. I'm just curious. If there's like a little community or organizations people in that area can get involved in.
So initially we do have a Chicago Normal Club here. So that would be my first go-to. The club, the organization is absolutely amazing. It's funny because before I started in the dispensary, I actually did dispensary training with them. Now dispensary training is not needed, but I just thought, hey, why not? You know?
So more education.
They provide so many different educational classes. They have monthly meetings. They even have monthly events. I've been a photographer for quite a few events. So it's really fun once you get involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, a bulk of like who you might need to know in the underground scene is somewhat connected to the Chicago Normal Club too. So it's like, you know, they want to be legal, but they still, well, not they want to be. We have legal positions.
Yes,
but I think. We want to be in close proximity to the community. Mm-hmm. So, like, we are those same people who are also throwing the community cannabis events. So
yeah.
It might not be one, you know, specific organization. I lied. Black Hippie Farms throws the events. Again, follow them on Instagram. So outside of them and the Chicago Normal, it's more like, you know, you just know if you know.
Yeah, you know, it's like, if you know.
If another you know somebody, place
you could get
is,
to the thing and you could find the things to go to, you know.
We have a lot of different infused chefs and things like that. So another fun
I've activity. Seen that. I was like, yes. Oh, you guys got some, I've never been to we Chicago. Do. It looks Everybody, like y'all got some good food out there.
Oh, the best. But oh, one thing I do love is Herbal Note is another, they're a culinary company, but they have a lot of infused dinner parties.
Okay.
So that is another Herbal Note. And their chef, Manny, he's a local from Pilsen, Chicago. So he's really, really great. So he hosts a lot of infused events as well. That's like very high scale. I'm trying to think of a few more because I think there are a few additional, like, you know, event party people. Mm-hmm. But just off the top of my head, those were the three that I know. But yeah, it's like one of those things where when you come to Chicago, you pretty much gravitate towards, once you ask someone like, where can I find what I'm looking for? You pretty much get connected instantly.
They'll give you like three people to be like, yeah, oh, like you
it's kind of hard to miss the cannabis scene unless you really just don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah, yeah. You guys are allowed to have personal grows, right? Like adults can have up to 6 plants, if I'm mistaken.
Only if you have your medical card.
Okay, that's what I thought. I'm like, I'm familiar with some people out there who are growing. They're probably medical, but they do offer like grow classes.
Yes.
So if you are a medical patient, you can like take a grow class and learn how to grow your own.
Yep. So recreational, you can just, you know, hold up to a certain amount, but the medical are the ones that can actually grow. And I believe it's been a minute. I ain't been a dispensary in a while, but I think it's like 7 plants or 9 plants up to 7 feet. And don't quote me on that, but I think that's what it is.
It's okay.
But they get to grow. But as far as the growing classes, I think that's open to anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not that hard to get a medical card here. You really can just go apply for it.
Yeah, any place medical, y'all, if you say you have migraines,
chronic pain. I was going to say chronic pain. And if you literally Google the definition of chronic pain, it just says women gets it. So.
Oh, yeah. If we have PMS, we have chronic pain. For sure. So this is one of my favorite questions. What kind of mark or legacy do you want to leave in the industry as a Black woman?
That's so hard. And then you're going to ask me that on Black History Month?
That's the point.
Honestly, I want to be the start of a bigger conversation. Our ancestors really took a bullet for us. Ooh, and I just finished watching the Emmett Till thing too, so I'm like about to tear up a little bit. But
it's okay. You know, it's Black History Month. It's okay.
Our people really took a bullet for us when it came to our families being ripped apart and a lot of things in our community being just broken and torn from us because they just wanted a better way of life. And it makes you reflect back to exactly what I said. I'm living in a condo and cannabis is paying my rent. So it's just when you think about stuff like that, it's just... Now that I've been let into the industry, because this industry is literally fresh, we're at the very beginning of everything that is to come. And that's even with Cali being so far ahead of us. But this is just the beginning. So it's like, I just want to be the person that makes sure that that door stays open. I want to be the one that's, I've been quiet in so many other positions, but I can't be quiet here. So when I speak up about diversity or I speak up about the numbers, I'm going to keep doing it until I keep seeing more and more people like me, until this is a normal thing where I'm walking to the office and I'm not just pointing out 4 or 5.
It's not just you.
Yeah. Like, no, I'm literally just, I'm the revolving door right now.
So I love that.
The revolving door. Like, I want to be used. Anybody that reaches out to me and they're just like, Nikki, what can I do? Or how can I get in? Like, I don't know how, but I promise you I'll spend all night trying to figure it out, because I'm just like, everyone deserves a chance to be in here. And we fight for so much. Like before, I was fighting so hard for a leg up in a healthcare industry where you see we're constantly belittled and we're constantly undervalued there. And I was just like, I finally got in somewhere that was meant for us in the beginning. I'm going to make sure that there are a lot more people that can get in. Like, I'm not ever going to be that woman that was making fun of someone. Like, that is just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, that's probably what my legacy is going to be, is I'm going to be a revolving door right now, because there are going to be some groundbreaking people to come behind me that's just really going to take this farther than I'm even thinking right now, farther than you thinking right now. But it's like, we have to get through this first layer in order to even see the light.
We weren't supposed to be in the industry.
Yeah.
Like, it was designed for us to not be involved. Certain limits were put in place. Certain laws are put in place. And still, it's a very small number. And I'm letting you know, you've already cracked the ground open. You've already created the seed, and the concrete is the, you know, when the seed starts to poke out the concrete, that is what you have made. So once this starts to grow, you're gonna see it completely. You're gonna go, this woman got hired because of me. This woman got hired because of me. Look at her over there. She has this business because I encouraged her to do this business. It's completely possible. I completely believe it for you. Thank you for sharing that, by the way. I'm sorry I made you cry, girl.
No, I'm a freaking crybaby girl.
Oh, it's so, okay. I am too. It's all right. I tell people all the time, I cry like once a week. And I'm okay with that, because I am a Pisces rising.
See, I'm a Cancer moon. So trust me.
There we go. Baby. See, makes sense, May.
So I'm just like, no. And then even just period, when you're talking about something that just means so much to you,
yes. That's how you know you love it, though. When you are boo-hooing, like, I have boo-hooed over weed projects.
Literally over weed. Like, and it's so funny, because the last dispensary job, well, not the last dispensary job, the first dispensary job that I had, I actually lost it because of a racial altercation. So it's just like, again,
I've been there. I lost my first dispensary job because of a racist boss.
No, a customer came in and called me a dirty black bitch.
Oh no.
And I reacted and I got fired.
Yeah, that's how we got to fight. I don't care.
So that's why it just makes it even more real for me, because it's like, you still see it. You still have those people that don't want us here, and they're just going to do everything that they can to stop us from being here.
It makes them uncomfortable.
They try.
It makes them so uncomfortable. And guess what? I don't give a fuck.
Oh, because we ain't going nowhere.
Like, nowhere. The more uncomfortable it makes people, I feel like the more it makes me want to be here. Like, every I keep being like, oh, you keep trying to push me out. I'm going to stay even more, because I'm stubborn. And you said, I can't do it. So now I'm going to really do it.
See, that's the Sag and Aquarius in me.
I love it.
Now you want to challenge me. Game on.
You're like, oh, you want to fight? Oh, no, if someone came into my store and called me that, I would jump across the glass.
Girl, I wish I could have. That's all, like, dang, I got fired and I didn't even really get to do no damage.
I didn't even put no hands on him. Come on.
I'm like, let me do some damage. Wait a minute. I need a do-over here.
This is an unfortunate but great transition to my next question, because of your experience and probably at the dispensary. I know for me, I worked at a dispensary in Washington. So very white, Seattle, Washington. So people would come in I'd get weird looks, like, or people would look at me and I'd be free, but they would go to the next person, or just kind of be like uncomfortable with my presence, or look at my hair and like want to touch it and please don't do that. So what stigmas do you experience, or have you experienced, that you want to change and kind of hopefully eliminate altogether in the industry through your work or your just presence in the industry as well?
The first thing is, I won't.
I was telling other people, like, because you said someone called you something, and I'm like, first of all, don't be disrespectful. I feel like that's important. Like, that's the stigma that people think you can just say anything to us.
You do. The next stigma that we just have to break, especially for us, is And we hear it in every industry, but it carried here too. The angry black woman, it has to be killed, man. Oh. Like, every time I open my mouth, it does not mean I'm angry.
I don't understand. And if I am,
I'm just probably talking.
Made me angry.
No, but like 99% of the time, I'm just talking to you. And then it's even more outrageous to me because like I'm in Chicago, G. Like everyone talks.
Everyone talks like this.
What am I doing?
Everyone's real aggressive.
Yeah, like seriously, everybody. It's like New York. Like everybody just talks like this. So what am I doing any differently than the girl next to me? And it was like one of the thing was in one of the dispensaries.
You have red hair. It looks like fire.
Girl, I didn't even dye my hair red until I was done with dispensaries.
Oh, okay. The
crazy thing about it, I was scared to do that in dispensaries. I wanted to portray like I thought I was doing too much coming in there with braids every day.
Mm.
So it's like
that's a whole nother conversation.
Girl. But like, so one of the things was, so at the dispensary, there was two other girls that I worked with and they were cool as heck. Like we was like the Powder Puff girls in there. No pun intended. Like we was... But we were all the same personality. So like how you said, very laid back, very cool, very mellow. Like, gee, mm-hmm. We smoked weed all day. I couldn't be hyper even if I tried. Like, it's just not in me. So, but it's like when we work in, coworkers would complain about me having attitudes, but they would give those two girls who were not black compliments for being so laid back and chill. And I'm just like, bro, what I'm doing different?
What did I do? You're
I'm
just
confused. Like, what did I do differently than them? And we're doing the exact same thing. So it's like, we got to get rid of that. Cause I'm not going to keep trying to justify every pitch in my voice to somebody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's so common in any space, like you said, mm-hmm. But in cannabis, I think people have an idea of what a cannabis expert or a cannabis employee is supposed mm-hmm. to look like or supposed to act like. Like, I think some people still walk in and expect to see the, like, white surfer bro.
Oh, yeah.
With
real hippie hair vibe.
And, yeah, and, like. Then you see us, and we're like sitting there tall and just looking a little.
Got sneakers on, nice braids.
We're intimidating because nice. We're fine as heck, and you know, exactly. Like to keep our hair nice and our skin clear. And I think people just they come in with that expectation. So when they see you, they're like, "Oh, hold on! Like this makes me this kind of throws me off because just mm-hmm. because of what we've been presented as the typical." Cannabis educator or stoner is, you know, a very like dainty, maybe white woman mm-hmm. or bro-y.
But then it's like on the flip side, I love when that one person comes in. Like it was one patient who left a major mark on me in the dispensary, and she was an older black woman. She had mm-hmm. to be like in her 70s. And the crazy thing is, her name was Geraldine, and my grandma's name is Geraldine.
Oh.
This woman came into the dispensary once a month because that was her budget for her cannabis for the month. And she mm-hmm. came right to me every single time because she knew that I would get her together. And that made my life. Like, that made my day seeing her.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, how's this going? How's that going? Or even when we did have those few out-of-town people come in. And honestly, it was the black ones that when they walked in, they saw
oh, yeah, the black people like, would beeline to me. They would like, be oh, like finally.
A breath of fresh air. They're like, oh, my God, I'm so happy to see you right here. Like,
they'd be like, no, I'll wait for her. I'll wait for her.
Mm-hmm. So it's like for all of the ones that wanted to walk past us or wait for the next person, there was like three people in line waiting to specifically see us.
Mm-hmm. And those were the people who actually... looked like you or understood you or mm-hmm. weren't gonna judge you. Sometimes I had this old white lady who would always come make me hats. She would she would knit hats for me. She brought me a taser once.
One that made bacon goods every single time and she knew how much I love blueberries and she would definitely make me muffins and I'm like, I like you.
You're like, you make my day a little bit for that one
exactly.
At home.
Like, where have you been today? How is your day going?
I think if people just enter the spaces, don't look at what I look like. Like, notice me and, you know that you can't call me anything. Mm-hmm. But just know what I, like, just know that I'm here because I'm educated. No, and I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm talking about. For sure. My last question for you, dear. And this is a question I ask every guest as well. It's one of my favorites because one of the takeaways that I get from listeners is that they feel more encouraged to enter the space, and they'll listen to a couple episodes or one episode and they'll just be like, I can do this. And that's kind of one of my goals, is to just be like, nah, if we can make money from weed and like pivot our lives, you can too. And it can change your whole life. And it could be something you do your whole life. It could be something you do for a couple years, but you can really create long lasting wealth, create your own opportunities, build your own company, work for a company, become ancillary. You can do so much in this space and not feel like you're limited, and be given the freedom to kind of do almost anything that you can imagine. But what advice do you have for people of color who are just really interested in getting into the industry or doing work similar to what you're doing and just don't know where to start, but they do know they want to start?
Honestly, my best advice is just get out of your head and do it. The only worst thing that can happen is you don't get the job, or you don't get the business, or you don't get whatever it is that you're going for. But what are you going to do? You're going to keep trying, right?
Like, I hope so.
That's what we're built. That's just ingrained in us. So it's like, once you just take your mind out of it and you literally just lead with your heart, like I'm telling you, I literally left a healthcare industry, all that I knew, even though it wasn't paying well, that was all I knew. And I just went with something because it felt right. I felt better when I woke up in the morning and I went to this job. I felt going to sleep knowing that even if I had a bad day, it was a bad day for doing something I wanted to do. I was finally doing something that I want to do. So if you want to be in this industry, just make sure it's not the latest fad, or you're not chasing the money, or you're going to burn out quick, because that's with any industry. You need to make sure that this is what you want to do, and this is what you want to spend the rest of your life doing, because essentially nobody is looking for a job or a career. They're just looking to maintain their lifestyle, and they're looking to maintain their happiness. Are you literally gonna sell yourself to the highest bidder, like, just because it's the cannabis industry? What difference is that than working in big pharma or somewhere else? You need to do what's right for you. You need to do what makes you happy, and then literally everything else just gonna come.
It just falls into place.
It just literally falls into place when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and not what you think you're supposed to be doing or what other people are telling you you're supposed to be doing. Because technically, from what everybody else is telling me, I'm supposed to be like a director in somebody's hospital right now.
And in your mind, you were like, I don't see me doing that.
Girl, I was in therapy every day, but chasing that damn dream. Like, driving myself crazy. So that's why I'm like, at the end of the day, you can chase whatever goals you have, but if it doesn't make you happy, like, you're gonna burn out.
If it doesn't align with you, yeah, it will work. My favorite thing to live by now is, when you live your life on the path of least resistance, you'll be surprised on what the outcome is.
Yes,
I love once that. You stop forcing and just let whatever you're supposed to do, whatever is calling you, you felt the calling, just follow it.
Literally, the people, the spaces, everything will gravitate towards you as long as you just show a grateful heart and move with intention.
Exactly. Amen on this beautiful Saturday.
Yeah.
In Chicago and California.
The sun hasn't set yet, so it definitely is a beautiful Saturday.
I know. Well, thank you so much again for being on, for taking the time. I really enjoyed this conversation. Please let the people know where they can find you, if you want to announce anything or plug anything. This is your moment, your spotlight. This whole episode was your spotlight, honestly. But this moment, I want people to just be able to connect with you. Like you said, you're a resource, so people can reach out to you. Let them know where.
Oh, yes. So first off, thank you for this. I know we had to do like a few different reschedules because life is so busy, but I'm so grateful. This was like,
girl, I understand,
the best way to end my Saturday.
But oh, I love it.
You guys can follow me on Instagram. It's Pretty Little Nikki. So PRETTYNI.
She's the daddy with the red hair.
Yeah. So Pretty Little, and I think it's LILNIKK, two I's. And then you can also follow my platform is High Class Conversation. So I do a lot of blog content. I do a lot of social media engagement, as well as client based work and a lot of events here in Chicago. So High Class Conversations on Instagram. Those pretty much the two places you can find me. And like you said, once you jump on the page and you see a whole bunch of red hair, you know where you went.
I'm like, every black woman I have on the show, shout out to us, because we are fine. Okay, listen, you look good.
No.
And I saw your birthday pictures and I was like, ma'am, okay, I see you.
Look.
With the red braids. Like, listen, I'm giving them the carousel post, okay?
Oh, I like that one. Yeah, you're right.
I was like, every time a girl has a birthday, I see the pictures and I'm like, yes, this is what I wanted. Giving what it needed to give.
But yeah, this was great. I'm so happy we did it. And you're definitely going to have to come to Chicago soon so I can break you off a piece of our little wonderful land.
Yes, girl. I've never been to Chicago. I don't know why. I don't like the cold, but I'll come.
I was going to say the summertime be popping. It definitely gets hot in the summertime.
Okay, I'll come during the summer. That's fair. Mm. That is fair. Well, thank you so much again. We'll definitely have to keep in touch. Thank you guys for listening. Season 4 has been lit so far. This is the second episode of season 4. I feel like I've been recording forever because I've actually done back-to-back-to-back like recordings. And this is going to be a really fun season because I think I'm going to do guests every week instead of guests every other week. And there's just so much. There's so many. Like, as you know, there's so many Black women in cannabis. Like, there's more of us. And there's more of us creating companies and more of us creating popping things. Like, people don't know where we are, but I'm about to show you where they are. I'm about to plug everybody in and show you how to find all of us and connect with all of us and hire all of us and pay all of us.
Pay all of us.
Okay, period. All right, guys, on that note, thank you for listening. You can find me on Instagram at the Marijuana Ayana, spelled I-Y-A-N-A, marijuana, like you spell marijuana. Ayana, and stay tuned for next week's episode. Stay healthy and say hi. Bye, guys.